Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio on your radio dial at 95.9 FM and online at kgvm.org. And it's time now for the local musician spotlight. Each Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we'll be in the studio with a local musician or band to talk about music and listen to some. And tonight, I'm happy to have Bryce Ash here in the studio with me.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, glad you could come in tonight.
Happy to be here.
So I was wondering just how you came to be here and how long you've been making music.
Well, we'll take the first one first. Here meaning Bozeman. I've been here a little over 3.5 years. My wife and I moved here from Nashville, where we were there for about 11 or so years. She, her dad grew up in Bozeman, and so she grew up visiting her grandmother here. She was Ruth Stuckey, so I think when my wife was a kid, she was the county clerk, and her husband was the sheriff, and so, you know, the small town. But yeah, my wife grew up visiting here, and then when we would when we were married, we would always come back. And her parents live in Billings now, but we would always come through Bozeman to see his old haunts. And man, we just fell in love with it year after year. And at some point, it was obvious that full-time songwriting in Nashville wasn't going to happen. And we had young kids, and we thought, man, this would just be such the best place to grow up. So we figured out a way to get here. And since then, it's just been wonderful. No regrets from any of the family, any of the kids. Everybody's just loved it.
Great.
Little rocky for the first few months, but after that.
Yeah, you know, relocation is it's a big deal, so.
It's tough for, like, middle school kids, you know, grade school kids who've only grew up with the same kids their whole life, and they don't understand that they can make new friends and, you know, that it'll happen. But it does, and then everything's good.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, obviously a pretty big shift just in terms of, you know, Nashville to Bozeman, but probably a pretty big shift in terms of music too, I imagine.
Yeah, well, it is. There's no shortage of great music in Nashville. So it's always easy to go out and hear just, you know, some great people who are maybe just under the radar at some of the local haunts. By the time we moved, though, Nashville had changed so much just in the, you know, the decade we were there. When we first moved there, you know, we'd go down and hit the honky tonks on Broadway, and it was just, you know, they were just kind of normal bars, and you could go hear some great artists. I remember walking into one, it's called Robert's Western, where they sell boots too. And walking in, and Gillian Welsh and Dave Rawlings are just sitting right there listening to the band. And I'm like, well, you know, if it's good enough for them, we're at the right place. And nowadays, if you go, there's like, you know, 45-minute, hour wait just to get into a honky-tonk, and it's crowded, and you can't hear very well, and it is not the same scene. So by the time we left, we weren't really going out seeing very much music. I mean, we'd go see some, every once in a while, go see a show, like we see Guy Clark, or if there was somebody really good playing at the Ryman we wanted to see, you know, maybe three times a year. And I wasn't playing hardly at all. It's a bit of a cattle call. And when you're playing there, you're not going on till after 10 and then maybe not getting home till 1, which putting kids in bed, you know, at 1 and then trying to get up and go to work the next morning was a little difficult. So by the time, you know, the kids were a little older, I wasn't going out much in the evenings to play, and you don't get paid. Maybe you get tips if you're lucky. So there's no incentive there. Whereas here, I'm able to play. It's funny, I play more music here than I did when we left Nashville. When we first moved to Nashville, I played a lot, made a lot of contacts and all of that. But I kind of lost that. And then moving here kind of, it's ironic, but it reintroduced me to it, finding people to play with, playing out locally. And with the liquor laws, I get to play from, like, you know, 6 to 8. The kids can come and see it, and then we can all go home and I can put them to bed. So
yeah.
It's actually been kind of a nice musical renaissance for me personally getting out of Nashville.
Oh, that's really interesting. I do. I kind of continually marvel at just the amount of musical talent that's here for the size of place that it is also.
Absolutely. When we were scouting out places, that we had a couple of criteria as far as like could, if we would move here. Music was a big one. And we saw a couple of local bands, you know, at some of the breweries when we were kind of scouting the place out. I think it was Wall Creek was one. And then speaking of Gillian Welch, there's a female trio and their name is like based on a Gillian Welch song. And they were so good. And I thought, man, like this is as good as a lot of the stuff in Nashville that you would see in the, you know, side streets. And the other thing was there had to be an Indian restaurant close by, because that's kind of the threshold for me. And luckily there was. So we met both those criteria and it's been great.
Your timing was good because that's been a pretty new arrival here to Bozeman as well, an Indian restaurant.
Well, yeah. So. Well, there was the vegetarian one off Mendenhall, and then there was the one that's in Belgrade that they've opened up here downtown too, which has been wonderful, especially with COVID. We go and get the takeout every, you know, few weeks.
Yeah. That's interesting that in terms of accessibility, it maybe is better here. So do you... before obviously things went to the bad place, what were some of your favorite places here to play?
Locally here? I've always liked playing Bridger Brewing, primarily just because that was one of the places when we were scouting it out that we walked in and the people were so nice, both the staff and just the patrons. And I think there was music playing and just the environment was so warm and welcoming. It is in the winter, so is you know, everybody's got their beanie on and all that, and the acoustics are not great. They're actually pretty bad, but it does hold a special kind of place in our heart to play there. Let's see. I like most of the... There's no place I don't like playing, to be honest. I like the breweries, which is pretty much the majority of where I play. I was looking forward to playing Slam this summer before that got handed out. And maybe next year we can do Sweet Pea. But
yeah, it's been a pretty big departure from normal, obviously. And certainly missing Slam. It was the last couple of years, you know, the radio station went. We hung out. I recorded all of this stuff. And we set up a table and everything. It's just, it's a great environment. And, you know, having it in conjunction with Sweet Pea and stuff, that's a pretty fantastic weekend for the arts here. But you know, Montana summer is, I mean, it, maybe it's that, well, maybe it's not quite that way down south when it gets hot and muggy. Maybe people are more out and about when it's not quite that way, but you know, summer here is, everybody wants to
if
get
you
out
got
of their music.
Quarantine somewhere, this is the place to do it. Nashville summers are horrible. There's just I don't have much of a tolerance for heat, and it's so hot and humid there that you spend your whole time in, you know, indoors and air conditioning. And if you walk out, I would just be dripping. I remember, funny thing, we had left, you know, we had moved here, and maybe like a year and a half later, we flew back to visit friends, and we were at the airport. Actually, it was in Atlanta, but on the way there, and we were eating, and my son goes, "Dad, I think I got a hole in my cup," because it was covered with, you know, water. Yeah. And I was like, "No, that's just condensation." He's like, "What's that?" I said, "Don't you remember?" He didn't remember that cups get condensation on them, because here, you know, they stay dry.
Yeah, that's
so arid.
That's not a thing here. Yeah. Yeah, it's a. I grew up here, so humidity is my mortal enemy. So
I visited my brother in Austin last year, and I thought I was going to pass out. And it was only like May, but it was, you know, 98 with 95% humidity, and I couldn't take it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fish, that's probably great, but I'm not. So it was rough. Well, I wonder if maybe you want to play a couple songs, and then we'll chat some more.
Sure. You know, speaking of Nashville, I wrote a song shortly after we moved there for my wife, because she was the one that convinced me to hey, we were in Kansas City before that. She convinced me to kind of pull up roots and let's go try this thing out. This is a song called Every Dreamer.
It's 2 a.m. and I got the window up, raising a glass with my friend the moon. Neither one of us shines all on our own. The moon's got the sun, and baby, I've got you. For way too long, I kept my feet on the ground, played it safe, but my dreams tucked inside. And then one day, took my hand and we spun around, taking turns as we learned to fly. Every dream needs a believer, won't ever leave. Bend in the breeze whenever you're slowly unfold me, making me bigger and braver than ever dreamed I could be. There's no regrets, we're broke, but hey, we're getting back. Chasing dreams like kids with a net. Sleep sound, my love, and I'll watch the dancing of your eyes. You're dreaming dreams I ain't dreamed of yet. Every dreamer needs a believer, won't ever leave. Bend in the breeze whenever you hold me, slowly unfold me, making me bigger and braver than I ever dreamed I could be.
Sounded great.
Thanks.
That was, you said you wrote that prior to moving to Nashville, or
it was right
as
after,
you were moving.
Right after we moved.
Yeah.
That was kind of, you know, that was as a couple, that was her stepping back and letting me, you know, pursue something. And then when we moved here, it kind of reversed. That was me stepping back and she wanted to move closer to family and home. And although, I mean, I wanted to move here as well, but she also wanted to move to Nashville, Phil, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. You got another one in there?
Sure. You know what? Speaking kind of on the family theme, they, you know, the songwriter's favorite song is always the last one they wrote. So this next song I wrote, for my stepdad. He was turning 70. You know, but he's my dad in all intents and purposes with my siblings and since I was about 3. And I wanted to write him, since we weren't going to be able to have a big 70th birthday bash, I wanted to do something special, so I wrote him this song. It's called The Apple and the Tree. One thing I'll say about this song is I tried to kind of highlight the difference of nature and nurture, because growing up in a family where you're the only one that has a different dad, there are some very obvious things that are that just stick out, at least for me, how different I was than my siblings and than my dad. But, you know, he was able to instill what, you know, the things that are more important. And so that's really what I tried to highlight with this song, The Apple and the Tree.
Hundred degrees in the infield, wearing black polyester pants. The coach's son watches track 3 pass with just a glance that I had a hell of a stance. You taught me how to grip the laces, what the larger game is all about, and how to love so hard there wasn't any room left for doubt. Well, I'm still figuring that one out. For what's a man but the measure of his choices? Do's and a love those roll into your view. Will it maybe that another tree dropped this little apple? But I thank the Lord he rolled me to you. We might not have a lot in common, how we look or even how we stand, but when somebody looks into my eyes and shakes my hand, I hope they think he's just like his old man. For what's a man but the measure of his choices? Choosing to love those who roll into your view. Will it maybe that another tree dropped this little apple? But I thank the Lord he rolled me to you. You bleed Republican, I'm a Democrat. You drink Coors Light when I'm IPA. But you taught me to set the bar with Fleetwood Mac, and at the end of the day, the measure of a man is the measure of his choices. Choosing to love those who roll into your view. Will it maybe that another tree drop this little apple? But I thank the Lord he rolled me to you.
You know, that I wouldn't be surprised if that continues being one of your favorites. Yeah, after you've written a few more.
One of the most personal. Yeah, definitely one of the most personal ones.
So you've got an album called The Chariot, and there are some, maybe not quite that personal, but some songs that seem to be maybe kind of came from some personal observations and stuff.
Well, they're all personal. It's just, well, I guess, yeah. Different degrees, at least for me. Although I got to say, you know, like some of the writers, you know, that are in Nashville, I mean, they can take some small snippet of experience and just build a great song out of it. And I'm not able to do that quite at the pace that they do. But yeah, they all come from somewhere.
Yeah,
for sure.
So the Chariot, you wrote that and performed that album when you were down in Nashville. Is that right?
It was kind of, maybe a few years before we left. That was kind of a, you know, just a project to have something that's tangible, that kind of demonstrated, you know, some different types of songs that I write. You know, if I was doing an album purely as an artist, I wouldn't necessarily have put those songs together or produced them in the same way. But it was something that I wanted to be proud of, but then also be able to hand to publishers, you know, producers. And what I found was, like, there's, with my style and the things I like, the Venn diagram of what I like and what producers and publishers want to hear, the sliver of them overlapping isn't as big as I had hoped. So, yeah, that was kind of that project. I was able to work with, you know, some really good people, great musicians. Andy Osenga helped produce it. And he's real big in, like, the Christian circle, Cademan's Call and stuff like that. We were able to work out of Sputnik Studios, which, like, I think Vance, the producer for the Raconteurs, was working out of at the time. So we got to hear, you know, it's kind of fun to overhear what was going on there at the same time. So it was a great experience all around. Definitely looking forward to getting some. I mean, that's almost 10 years old now. So definitely looking forward to getting something else that's you know, able to manifest other than just playing live. I got a whole host of songs itching to get recorded.
Yeah, it's a it interests me, like you said, that the things that maybe producers were looking for were maybe a little different. And it's I'm guess I consider myself fortunate that I'm not really into kind of things that are a lot of people are, right? The top hits and stuff don't have much interest to me. But, you know, to try to think about if you're making music that isn't that kind of music, you know, it seems to me I've obviously got a lot of bias, but, you know, I think that, well, if I like it, other people must like it too, right? And there must be a market out there for that kind of music. But, you know, I guess when you start talking about making it into kind of a business deal as making a record is, I'm sure things get a little different.
I found myself spending too much energy, like, in my head, thinking when I was writing songs, thinking about, is this, you know, what's going to be marketable or what's going to be, you know, like trying to stick to the formulaic stuff. And I do not get excited about that at all. That doesn't come naturally to me. I tend to veer more kind of probably more artsy fartsy stuff. But I wrote with guys, and there are guys there who, like, that just comes out of them naturally. Like, that kind of, and a couple of them actually, they call it a 10-year town, because they say once you're there, it takes 10 years to make, you know, get any traction. And it's pretty much true, because I had a couple of guys I was friends with, and we wrote a few times together, and they both have had, I think, number ones just this year.
Yeah.
You know, on the charts. But it took, you know, 10, 12 years. And but both of those guys, that comes out of them naturally. Like, they're not squeezing themselves into that. Whereas for me, it was always artistic gymnastics trying to, you know, write. And I would write, when I would write stuff that I think was commercial, I was never happy to play it, because it wasn't fun for me to play.
Right, right.
So I kind of shot myself in the foot with that too.
That's interesting, thinking about that. Kind of takes 10 years. So, you know, by the time they're actually in this position and they're writing hits and stuff, I'm sure, you know, everybody evolves. But so the things that people are liking are the things that kind of had their foundation right 10 years ago. That's...
Well, I mean, I don't know. You look at kind of... This probably make people mad. Country music is like a 10-year time capsule you know, eight to 10 year time capsule of what was popular in, you know, pop and rock.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you were to go back 8 to 10 years in pop and rock and listen to the sounds and the types of songs you're writing, that's what's big in country music right now. and it's been like that, I feel, for about 20, 30 years. The other thing is, you know, 30 years ago, you had a whole industry of full-time songwriters. When I moved there, there was about a tenth of how many there were in the 80s. And then by the time I left, there was about a tenth of that.
Wow. So,
I mean, it's a dying industry. It's a dying breed. If you're going to be a full-time songwriter in Nashville, you know, you're going to be one of the few left.
You're going to have to be scrapping it out.
Yeah, I mean, the producers and the artists are writing all the songs now. It's not, they're not looking, you know, the majority aren't looking for songwriters the same way they were 15 years ago.
Yeah. So what, do you think that's better, worse,
you
different?
Know, I don't know. I think there is something lost when you have someone that devotes their time to just improving the craft of writing songs. And you look at, you know, the stuff that was coming out of Tin Pan Alley back in the day, and even the songs that were being written in Nashville in the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, like, you know, you think of like all the big Garth Brooks hits, you know, like The Dance, you know, stuff like that. Like, those are great songs. And I hated country music back then.
Yeah.
But you go and you hear someone play that on just an acoustic guitar or just a piano, and you're going to realize that's an amazing song.
Yeah.
And you lose a lot of that, I think, when you lean more on some producers, because the things that I love about the songs are the lyrics and the melody that work together to pull you in. And if all of a sudden you're leaning on production to do that, and you don't have the lyrics there, I mean, everybody loves to hear a really exciting song, but it's the lyrics that always keep you coming back, I think, at least for
me.
And if the lyrics aren't there, which is, again, like a full-time songwriter that has honed their craft is going to be really good at lyrics. And
That's interesting. I guess I was kind of thinking from the other angle, and this is probably not really that true, because I'm sure good songwriters, they didn't write the same song or the same kind of song over and over again. But you know, if you've got a bunch of different people doing it, you're going to have kind of a diversity of ideas and approaches and stuff. But I think that's a good point about the just the craft of it and people that have honed it to such a sharp degree.
When you have a lot of songwriters, like Don Schlitz, who wrote like The Gambler, you know, for Kenny Rogers, he wrote just a ton of huge songs that are amazing. But if you go to see him perform, you know, he's not great. He doesn't have a great voice. He's not real good at guitar, even though he's been doing this for decades. But man, he can write a song. You know, he can take the fundamental things and put them together. Whereas nowadays, like, it'd be, if you had Don Schlitz in Nashville now trying to make it, he wouldn't make it because he can't perform his own stuff.
Right.
And you kind of need to be an artist to break through right now.
Yeah.
And you may end up being just a songwriter, but as an artist, you're able to present your product in a way that people listen.
Yeah. You got to have that presentation just to get it out of in the front door, right?
Yep.
Well, if you are just tuning in, this is the Local Musician Spotlight here on KGVM, and we're in the studio with Bryce Ash, talking country music and listening to country music. So I wonder if you've got a couple more you want to play for us.
Yeah. This winter, I tried to spend a little more time writing. Prior to that, I was playing out more than usual, so didn't have as much time. There's a Robert Frost poem called The Winter Wind and the Window Flower, and it's kind of like a star-crossed lovers concept, but he just stays in the metaphor the whole time. So I tried to take that, kind of like any good songwriter does, and just steal it, but make some tweaks. And so I kind of got out of the metaphor and just pulled the metaphor in at the end, and then I thought it was maybe not, it didn't fit the way I wanted the story to go, to think of a window flower, because I felt like that was kind of a weak image. So I switched it over to desert flower. But I really like how this song kind of played itself out. This is The Winter Wind and the Desert Flower.
Fighting with the wind, trying to load this Chevy bed without looking back at the ghost of what might have been and the words that I might have said before the wheels left the tread. Back when we would live whole lifetimes in each other's eyes, and now you're staring out the window, watching as a rainbow fades in the morning eye. Loved you how I found you, so I can't be around you. This curse of a winter wind and a desert flower. Never have I known beauty is soft and strange, but I know this about love. It don't diminish what it holds, and it won't force one to change. So I'm left thinking of how the dust would dance beneath the main street lights when you would twirl, and now you're staring out the window, watching as a rainbow fades in the morning eye. I found you, so I can be around you. It's the curse of a winter wind and a desert flower. Paper edges are soon to rub you raw, and I can't watch you tear, 'cause I love you how I found you, so I can't be around you. Yeah, you love me how you made me, but you best just soon forget me. It's a curse of a winter wind and a desert flower.
Thanks. Well, before we lived in Kansas City, I grew up in Kansas for the most part, kind of southeastern Kansas in Wichita. And I always think Kansas is a great place to grow up as a songwriter because the beauty does not hit you over the head like it does here, in, you know, in Montana. It's a lot more subtle. And so you have to kind of pay attention to the small details. And it's kind of boring, so there's not a lot else to do. So those two things mixed together, I think, can make for some good songwriting. So, you know, I've moved here. I don't see myself ever really moving back to Kansas. But it still has a special place, you know, in how it formed me and in my heart. So I wrote like my ode to Kansas. It's called This Land. I'll play that for you.
Smoke clouds rolling and keep on folding over the hills, charging like a buffalo herd. They're burning fields and turning wheels while the sun sucks in his breath. And the cicada sing out a melody while the mockingbird brings in the harmony. The western wind begins to help the cottonwood bend and bow to his maker. This land goes inside me. Beneath the keeper of the pains, when the world closes in, you'll find me here, kicking up the dirt of my memories again. Grasshopper stops and prays on a witch grass blade that finally made it to the surface from a crack on the back of the prairie stack to a rack, taunted and whipped by the sun. And a yellow sky crowds the night as a metal ox takes flight. The air grows heavy and deathly still. The windmills turn as a twister churns. You watch the distance burn. The dust clouds march until the cyclone's at her fill. And this land grows deep inside me, beneath the keeper of the plains. When the world closes in, you'll find me. Up the dirt of my memories. This land grows deep inside me, beneath the keeper of the plains. When the world closes in, you'll find me here, kicking up the dirt of my memories again.
That's a lot of imagery packed in there.
Yeah. That one was just fun trying to pack the imagery and play around with, you know, the rhythms.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I really did really good with these rhythms, kind of mixing them up and changing it around. And then we watched Hamilton as a family. It's like, holy crap. You know, that is such an amazing work of genius. The depths musically and lyrically of that is so amazing that it's always good to be humbled in, you know, such an amazing way.
Yeah. That was a nice kind of a segue. I had been wondering about that. How significant an effect is where you are on the songs that you write?
It kind of, it's a half and half. So a lot of songs I write end up being story songs where I kind of build the world or whatever around it. And it's funny, like the winter wind and the desert flower, like I ended up writing like several pages of just like where this was taking place. Like I was picturing it in Marfa, Texas, and, you know, this kind of cowboy guy comes into town, all that stuff. And I, like, so much I write doesn't make it into the song, but it's kind of like backstory, right?
Yeah.
So in those cases, where I'm at doesn't matter very much. But in other cases, it completely feeds the song. In fact, you know, speaking of segues, one of the first, actually the first song I wrote after we moved here is called Goddamn Paradise. And, my thought was, I remember as a kid having a breakup, and I was in Kansas, right? And so like a high school breakup. And I remember just on a summer day, it being really nice out, and I felt so crappy inside. And I just, you know, like that juxtaposition made it even worse. It made it feel even worse because it was beautiful out and I couldn't enjoy how beautiful it was. And then we moved here, you know, and I remember that from all these years later. And I thought, man, of all the places to have your heart broken, this would be the worst. Like, you're in paradise. You're in this amazingly beautiful place and the inside is just wreckage. And so I wrote a song about that. Yeah, Goddamn Paradise. Cool. Which I can play for you.
Yeah, if you want to, that'd be great.
All right. I got to figure
it out. You got it set up now.
For those aspiring guitarists out there, here's a neat little trick I figured out way back when. If you turn a standard capo backwards, you can capo on the second fret for strings 3, 4, and 5, and you end up doing a fake dadgad sound. But then you can use standard chord shapes. I use that little cheat a lot. All right, this is Goddamn Paradise. The sun stealing my breath, like getting caught in a sin of forbidden fun. And every step she took, wildflowers bloomed and the forest looked. But now just sees a cautionary tale. Hey, Mr. Bridger, I heard you're the man to see. Won't you give me some of that sage advice? How I miss her in this Rocky Mountain Valley, and I can't seem find my way out of this goddamn paradise. Everywhere I turn, I get a postcard view and salt in my eyes. Sun-painted peaks, purest blue in the world's biggest sky. It's just a cruel reminder of the wasteland that she left behind her. And I can't seem to find my way out. Hey, Mr. Bridger, I heard you're the man to see. Won't you
give me some of that sage advice. How I miss her in this Rocky Mountain Valley, and I can't seem to find my way out of this goddamn paradise. And I play the scene time and time again of the night she lived. Tears on her sleeve and her eyes pleading me to say just a word to make her stay. But I just want to walk away. Some of that sage advice. How I miss her in this Rocky Mountain Valley, and I can't seem to find my way out of this goddamn paradise.
That's full of images too.
Yeah, so
it's pretty interesting. I when you were singing about that and about the wide, the big blue skies and stuff. It's sometimes I talk to people that didn't grow up in northern Montana, and it's like, you know, a lot of people are if they're put in a situation like that by them, you know, in the solitude, it's like uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, and yeah.
It's like, man, that was how we grew up. It's just, you know, not see other people for days, and you know, you're out there in that. And I kind of wonder if maybe the wide open plains might be a little bit the same way.
It is, you know, it's a lot, and it's there's a starkness to it. I think Bozeman has a softness to it, that it gets enough rainfall and there's flowers and you know, there's a lot of green.
Yeah.
Even through a good chunk of the summer. Kansas gets just very brown and stark, and it's windy. It's like a constant 30, 40 mile an hour wind, which I never noticed till I moved away and then came back. And within a day or two, I was just on edge, ticked off, and I was trying to figure out why, and I realized it's the wind. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kansas is very stark and open like that. And I always thought, well, it's flat, so you're going to have more sky. And you probably do. But in western Montana, the mountains give it such perspective.
Yeah.
It makes it look bigger.
Yeah.
And, it's awe-inspiring. It's still a debate as to who has the better sunsets, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They both have pretty great sunsets.
Yeah. I've kind of been wondering, asking people about this, too. As you're writing songs and stuff, you've played at least one song that isn't apocalyptic doom metal, so I presume that the current world situation hasn't pushed you completely into that realm. But how much does that, do you think, affect your songwriting, and what kind of influences does it have?
The challenge for me has always been writing when things are good. It's really easy to use it as catharsis when things are bad. Yeah. What, you know, and usually is interpersonal, you know, if there's interpersonal issues or whatever, that is usually easy because you just want to get it out. When things are really good, though, it's harder for me to usually find like a toehold into a song. And I'll still write, you know, sad songs when things are good. But being able to write like a really good, upbeat, like happy song or, you know, positive song has always been a more challenge than a sad or a doom and gloom song. As far as the current situation, I haven't been able to go there yet. I wrote a song for my kids to kind of tell them it's all going to be okay. And I wouldn't be able to get through that one. But as far as, you know, like addressing the current situation, I can't go there. I just get too angry. And it's counterproductive.
You can't get to the catharsis point.
It was probably going to take me a while to digest it. And, you know, things are still being played out so much, right? So
yeah.
It's always hard to have – you have to have something to say. And at the point, I'm still enough confused and enough frustrated. I don't necessarily have anything to say that's beneficial to anybody, including myself.
Yeah.
I can scream out, you know. And that can be cathartic, but it's not how I want to spend my time, you know, when I'm writing.
Yeah. Do you think it just kind of that background angst and stuff, how much does it kind of, does it seep into other songs that you're writing, or can you kind of put that away when you're writing a song?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I haven't written a ton since everything shut down. I was, you know, everybody was talking about, oh, you're going to get, you know, people are going to be like YouTubing and, you know, all this stuff with everything being shut down. But when you have three kids, it gets a lot harder. And especially when they're work, you know, like schooling from home. So, you know, my days got a lot longer with trying to just keep track of all the spinning plates and who's got what class and who's got what meeting when, and then doing my day job. And so like I ended up having a lot less time to write these last few months. So I haven't.
That's probably not very likely to change significantly for at least a few months more, I would guess.
No, it'll be now that school's going to start up again, I think we'll get into more of a regular pace. I expect to start writing more. And we've been doing a lot of traveling and camp, like just camping and stuff this summer. That's kind of been our way to get out. And it's hard to write when you're camping with kids.
I'll bet. Well, I think we've got time for one more if you want to.
Sure.
Another one you want to do.
Let me think. Here's one. I'll end with this one. It's one of my favorites. There's a little story behind it. So I hated country music till a friend introduced me to, you know, kind of country folk by way of Townes Van Zandt. And that's when I really started listening. And that was kind of the gateway drug to Guy Clark and Steve Earle and all of that. And that's where I've been most inspired. And when we moved to Nashville, our first Thanksgiving there, we ended up, I can't remember how I met this guy. Like just on the street, he's 6'9" or something, really tall. And his name was Chip, but he had been a really good friend with Townes Van Zandt. And I was like, well, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And he ended up coming over for Thanksgiving. And we just sat, you know, no kids at the time. So we just had a great meal and had some other friends over and just sat around drinking whiskey and talking about Townes and Guy Clark and Ronnie Crowell and all that. Talking to him, I ended up saying, you know, one of my favorite songs is Tecumseh Valley, which is just written third person about this gal in Tecumseh Valley named Caroline. And I always thought, what if there was a twist to that? I feel like there could be another twist to it, another angle on the story. So I wrote this and played it for Chip, and he thought it was great and all that. This song is called Caroline's Song, and it's meant to be a companion piece to Tecumseh Valley by Townes Van Zandt. So I'm not stealing it so much as kind of borrowing it for parts of the story and then adding on to it. This song, when I play in town, I have a trio. Kyle Brenner will play cello and Alex Platt will play drums with me. And this song turns out really well. Kyle really just kills it with some nice melodic cello solos. So as I'm playing, feel free to imagine those in your head because it makes the song a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Tell them all I'm on my way, and I'm coming home to stay to my sweet Caroline. Lord knows that I've been gone to the city far too long, slinging grease and turpentine. Well, they promised steady pay if you gave an honest day working on their line. But those promises fell down like tents to the ground, so I left them behind. And the sunshine in the valley is shining like the song of my darling Caroline. See, Sally took her in, tending bar to lonely men, said she'd keep her safe. And that was 7 months ago, before the winter snow, before the coldness came. And I've kept warm just thinking in the song of my darling Caroline. Sally's waiting at the stairs, still inside the air, trembling lips. Carolina's 3 weeks gone, she took her life before the dawn. Just thinking of the beauty and the song of my darling Caroline.
Well, you've been listening to the Local Musician Spotlight here on KGVM, and we've been in the studio with Bryce Ash. I want to thank you for coming by tonight.
Thanks, Bob. It's been a pleasure.
Keep it tuned right here. We've got Forest Electronic Music Show coming up next, and I'll be back at 10 o'clock for some nocturnal transmissions. It might get a little louder that time, but really enjoyed this, and hope you did too. So keep it right here on KGVM.